for me, it probably began with sculpture. I really was into like anything with sculpture. Like it was hacking at something, a piece of stone, if it was clay, constructing things in the workshop. And fabric was just harder than other things because it was soft and it moved and it stretched and it was very unpredictable. If you think about making a clay or stone sculpture, it doesn't move. To build a fashion garment, you have to build this sculpture that's constantly moving all the time. It's very complex. But
then why were you drawn to the world of fabric if it was so much harder? Was it that challenge?
It was the challenge. It's the more challenging, the more exciting.
And what were the first challenges that you were presented with?
Well, I knew science, but I never actually did things like textiles in high school. So I sort of figured it out for myself. And I looked at science to find that background instead of looking in textiles. So when I was generating it, it was all sort of from first principles like you do in science. Mm-hmm. So,
like what principles? What were you doing?
I would go on the very base level. So I'd look at I'm really into sort of things like carbon chemistry. So I'd look at it from a molecular structure. So if you think about fabric as cellulose, and then they have different kinds of fabric. So they've also got ones made out of petroleum. If you think about how does even dyeing work, it's these questions sort of pop up and you have to start answering them. And instead of going through sort of thinking about it from a clothing, no, take a pattern and cut it out and make this piece of clothing, I came at it from a slightly different angle.
Mm. I'm just so interested in like the actual construction though. So you would sculpt essentially, or when you would have a template, you'd be like, oh, I'm going to sculpt this differently, approach this in a different way. That process like of actually putting something together, can you like run me through that?
Okay, so there's sort of two ways that you can approach this problem. One is sort of flat pattern making. So they're these sort of pre-made shapes that we know that will make a garment of a certain shape. There's also draping, which is, here's a mannequin, we drape a garment on it, and we pin things together, cut around it, and then we then flatten those shapes. And that's how we get these flat patterns. The more that I worked with the techniques themselves, sculpture and almost things like mathematics start to cross over, because you're sculpting around the body in three dimensions, and that abides by these sort of three-dimensional rules. Mm. And the techniques that were created sort of, you know, in the 18th, 19th century. And it's almost like they haven't updated the maths in like hundreds of years. It's imagine if you had like an iPhone and you'd never updated the software on it, or you know, your computer and you never updated the software in hundreds of years. And then you're like, hey, is this the same thing? You know, could we do better? Possibly.
Using that example of the iPhone as well, when it comes to, I guess, installing maths into the way that you might construct something, how is that because you can kind of like more accurately pinpoint, oh, this would then drape to look like that, or I can now have a digital representation of what I would want a garment to look like, and I know that it would work?
When I developed things like zero waste pattern making, it was an understanding of how to fit pattern pieces together. At the time, I was sort of using brute force at the beginning, but then I started finding out these sort of mathematical principles that worked, things like optimization or using sort of mathematical strategies. And you take that same kind of theory and you bring it down to something as small as fashion design. Mm-hmm. And you think about, how do I optimize this piece of fabric to get the greatest result for the least wastage? Or
is that what you were doing with the drape measure? You were making kind of these precise measurements?
That was with the zero waste. The drape measure was a way of making better measurements. So it can measure the curvature of your body as well.
How does it do that? How does it measure the curvature?
So actually, I have one here.
Yeah, let's look at it. Yeah.
So I have a tape measure, and it measures a linear measurement.
Yeah.
And that's what they do. This is a drape measure, and it can sit flat. And that's like, it almost looks like a protractor when it's laid flat. And it has a little marker on it saying that there's 360 degrees on the surface. But say I want to measure something curved. So the curved part of the body, it will become conical in shape. And it will have a measurement. So I can actually take this measurement and create a meaningful measurement that pattern makers can use to record curvature.
And you just put it on your shoulder, but you can kind of put it like in the waist area?
Well, the waist actually creates a shape which is called a hyperbolic shape. So if you remember sort of the geometry that you did in high school, that only applies for flat surfaces.
Mm.
So if you're doing stuff on curved surfaces, you need a completely different set. That, for me, that was a pretty big deal, because pattern makers were trying to use flat geometry on curved surfaces, and that's why it just kept on failing. And the more scientific they tried to be, the more they failed because they didn't understand
the science. And so then you kind of get all these little points. So it's like you said, kind of like a protractor and has the different numbers and all that stuff around. Where do you input that and then collect all the info?
The thing is, I needed to create something which was scientific, but it had to be something that was easy enough for fashion designers to understand. So these become sort of dart measurements. So this directly translates into a usable measurement that a pattern maker would use. Mm. So before, you would take a whole bunch of linear measurements around the body, and through a mathematical algorithm that was probably written in like the 19th century, I could just basically put a drape measure on the body, measure the exact angle that I wanted, and take the dart measurement directly off it, and it would be 100% accurate.
Do you think that this is something that is going to be utilized further in the future, this, I guess, blend of geometrical graphings into fashion as well? Do you see that happening more?
I think this is going to be a real gateway to technology, because you may have heard of things like 3D scanners. The technology exists for a long time. So you think, if I can get 3D scanned, shouldn't I just be able to get perfectly fitting clothing all the time? But the problem with a lot of these algorithms that are written for 3D scanners, they're written by engineers who don't know anything about making clothing. Even if you have this perfectly fitted garment, say you take a 3D scan and it's this perfectly fitted thing. It's like, imagine when people get their wedding dresses fitted. They get a perfectly fitted garment for one day. As soon as they go and have lunch, you know, you drink a liter of water, you become 1 kilo heavier. You eat a cheeseburger, that sticks, that's in your stomach. When I talked about sculpture before, I talked about this static sculpture. But in reality, the human is constantly moving. So the thing that I think is really important as well is we need to learn how to look at things that are constantly moving and changing shape. And that's why technology can kind of step in and give us more data to help solve these problems.